Welcome to Giant Cocktails, a podcast where two lifelong fans talk about the San Francisco Giants while drinking homemade cocktails. Now, here are your hosts, Ben and Matthew Henry.
Welcome back to Giant Cocktails Midweek Review, where we blend baseball banter with a twist of humor. I'm your host, Matthew, the Home Run Henry, and joining me is my co-host, the Sultan of Sip, the Emperor of Extravaganza, wearing his lucky Giants cap and holding a bat that's definitely not regulation size, Ben, the Grand Slam Henry. Get ready for another episode filled with laughs, insights, and maybe a few wild pitches. Now let's dive into the week. How you doing, Sultan of Sip, Emperor of Extravaganza?
What do you mean by my bat's not regulation size? Exactly.
I think you know what I mean. Should I say I think you know what ChatGPT means?
What? Yeah. Sure. Yeah. That's right.
Yes.
That's right. Say it's,
in the words of George Costanza, it's cold. It's cold outside. All right. Something like that. I was paraphrasing George. I
don't care. Yeah. Exactly what yeah. Said, yeah. I'd like to change subjects, please.
All right. You're right. Here we are in our second midweek review, baseball only, still changing gears a little bit, but I thought I'd bring back the ChatGPT intro since I flailed miserably last time trying to wing it on my own. So we're back to using ChatGPT and it didn't disappoint.
I thought you were mediocre.
Oh, all right. All right. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Well, let's jump into the booze, Ben. What are you drinking today?
Well, thank you for asking, Matthew. Today I am drinking a pineapple rum and friends old fashioned. What's in a pineapple rum and friends old fashioned? Well, it has 2 ounces of pineapple rum, half an ounce of hearing cherry liqueur, and then 2 dashes of chocolate bitters. You add all of the ingredients to a mixing glass with ice. You stir it to its desired dilution and chill, and then you strain it into a rocks glass over a large single chunk of ice, and you could garnish it with an orange peel or whatever. I didn't, because I don't have any oranges. And that's what I'm drinking today, Matthew, the pineapple rum and friends old fashioned.
I like it. All right. Well, I am also drinking an old fashioned because you may understand the sound quality is different based on I'm in a hotel room and I just traveled from home via plane. And so I had to smuggle an old fashioned into my carry on. And that's what I'm drinking today. I am drinking a high proof bourbon old fashioned. It's got 2 ounces of high proof bourbon, a half ounce of Demerara gum syrup, 2 dashes of black walnut bitters, and I would have an orange peel for garnish if I could have brought an orange peel on the plane, but I didn't think about that and didn't want to have to explain it to TSA why there was an orange peel in my bag. But I do have a Luxardo cherry in there. I threw that into the little container that I smuggled it in with. So it goes wonderful with ice from the ice machine down the hall in a paper cup that was left for me next to the coffee accoutrements in my hotel room. So it is a great cocktail and I'm going to need it because I've been traveling all day. So cheers, Ben.
Wow. So Matthew, I want to inform you that the TSA says that you can carry alcohol. I'm reading a website here, folks, but you know what? Don't take my word for it. Like if you end up in prison because you took my advice, then you're the idiot. But anyway, I'm just having a conversation with my brother here. Okay, like, just laugh. That's all you're supposed to do. Don't don't do what I say. But anyway, Matthew, it says here that as long as the ABV is less than 24%, then you are limited to 3.4 ounces or less. And I think that, like, that's the amount of liquid that you can put in a thing and they won't complain about it.
Right. So that's what I chose that in particular. I chose a 3 ounce, you know, glass jar, but it was 24 ounces of ABV, or 24% ABV.
Oh, really? Oh, really? Well,
it's an old fashioned. It's
I'm gonna beep that out, and so then therefore you have not admitted to you didn't pull an Ipe Mizuhara. You know what I mean?
That's right. That's true. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for saving me here. I may have smuggled it in. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or may not.
You may not have. No, it was my alcohol. You were just doing it for me. No, wait. No, wait. That would be my excuse. It was Matthew's alcohol that I was bringing on the plane. I was giving it to his bookie. Just, you know.
That's it.
Because
that's it.
Out of the goodness of my heart, because I'm such a nice guy. Because I'm Ben Henry.
All right, Ben Henry. Let's segue into some baseball. What are we talking about today? Well, we're going to talk about bullpens. We got a bullpen alert that may or may not be a problem. So we're going to talk about that, break that down a little bit. Then we're going to talk about the Dodgers because Dodgers suck.
Well, and also,
and we've been playing them for the last 3 days.
I mean, that's all that's happened since Monday is the stupid Dodgers, right? So, like, we got to talk about the Dodgers.
Yeah. And then we'll do a lightning round with a few odds and ends thrown in there at the end. But today is Wednesday, April 3rd, as we record this podcast. In fact, as we are recording this podcast, the Dodgers Game 3 Dodger Giant game is in progress. And so,
yes, it is in progress. But here's
it's in progress, and I just watched something that was bad. So anyway, the Giants going into today's game were 2-4. Overall, and 0-2 against the Dodgers. We'll talk a little bit about that. And I'll be honest, it's not looking good for Game 3.
Hey, you know what? You know what? We are recording this as the game is going on. And here's what I'll do. I'll ask Future Ben to jump in right here into this part of the podcast and just give his thoughts on how he thought the game went. Yeah, okay. So take it away, Future Ben, go. You know, they put up a good fight, and I think that the Dodgers are just a really tough team to beat right now. And there were some positives that we can take away from tonight's loss. Okay, thank you, Future Ben. It's good to know. You and our listeners know what happened. Unfortunately, Matthew and I don't, although looking at the score
we have no idea.
We have a vague idea of the direction it's going, and the direction it's going is not good. Kyle just gave up, a home run? His second home run of the game? Was that his second home run?
No, I don't think there was another. I think this was the first.
This is the first home run that he gave up to somebody in the bottom of the order. Like, yeah. Look, this is like the...
Someone not named Betzer Otani.
Right. Like, if it's one of the Hernandez twins, or it's Outman, or it's Muncy, or it's, like, what other scrub, I don't know who else is down there at the bottom of their order, who is taking you deep and doing damage, you're doing it wrong. But anyway, Matthew, yeah.
Well, I'm going to make an executive decision. I know we were going to talk about the Dodgers second, but I think we should just jump right into it because I think that's a good segue into the Dodgers here. I know last week I said that the Dodgers weren't going to win 100 games and that the Diamondbacks were going, could be that. And you had that prediction as well, as you reminded me last week. I take it all back. The Dodgers are definitely going to win 100 games. I'm just sitting on my couch. And I get nervous seeing the top four batters in their lineup.
So,
like, I can't imagine if you're a pitcher out there and you got to face Betts, Otani, Freeman, Smith. How do you get through that? That's like the gauntlet of death, man.
It is. It's an absolute nightmare. I don't. Look, it's an absolute nightmare. I think. I don't know what to say, Matthew. They're devastating. Like, it's that top, and you're right, it's that top five, four or five batters in their lineup that is just absolutely relentless. And I think the real problem that the Giants are having right now is that they're facing Mookie Betts when he's playing the best baseball of his life. And when you
I keep telling myself that he'll cool down because no one's going to hit over 500 for the season. Apparently, though, he's going to cool down after he plays the
Giants. Yeah, that's
the
unfortunate thing, right? Like, we're facing him now when he's hitting 500. And you know, he sets the tone, he gets on base, he puts you into the stretch. And then, but at the same time, he can hit for power, he can steal bases. He's just a mega, mega problem. And there's, like, no strategy right now that cools him off. Because, like, if you put him on base and you're in the stretch, if you pitch to him, he's going to hit a home run. And I almost feel like that's the best outcome, right? Like, having him just hit a home run so that you can face Ohtani with nobody on.
Yeah, and you're not in the stretch.
And you're not in the stretch is almost the best outcome with that guy right now because he's just so, so problematic. But here's the thing. Like, I mean, I hear you about, like, they're going to win 100 games. I don't know. They're going to cool off. They're going to cool off. The top four of these, like, Freeman is also extremely hot right now. And Ohtani and whoever's hitting, and Smith are hitting very well, right? They're going to cool off. Like, some of these guys are going to go into mini slumps and other teams out there will beat them. I don't know that I'm ready to say that they're definitively going to win 100 games. But I will say that, and you know what, also just by the Diamondbacks, just really quickly to talk about them, because they went into a really big series with the Yankees. It was kind of like two teams on a roll facing each other. And the Yankees came out on top in that series 2-1. But game three was just an absolute slugfest. And Merrill Kelly was treating the Yankees like he treats the Giants. And so I think I don't know. Like, I think that the Diamondbacks and Dodgers are going to be a battle all year long, and hopefully they can beat up on each other and help the Giants out a little bit in the wild card race. But again, all that being said,
I mean, the Giants could very well be swept in this series, and I think the silver lining, there's a couple silver linings in that, or at least things that you have to kind of point out. One is that it's early. Right. And we are not at our full strength in terms of pitching and all of that, still figuring things out. So very early in the season. Two, it's at Dodger Stadium. So, you know, you automatically assume you're going to lose at least two. Right. When you go on the road against the Dodgers.
Aside from a random sweep that the Giants had recently, they suck at Dodger Stadium.
Right. So I think that, you know, I'm not going to panic about getting swept by the Dodgers or losing two out of three from the Dodgers, whatever it may be, this early in the season. But I can't help but look. I mean, as I mentioned, looking at that lineup, it's clear that that lineup affects pitchers. And I think and Andrew Baggerly in The Athletic kind of said as much in his recent article about Webb's performance on Tuesday. Was that Webb abandoned his changeup early. And after the game, they mentioned that, or Bailey mentioned that it wasn't as good a pitch in the bullpen and as they were warming up. But I think Webb's changeup is one of the best pitches in baseball. And by all metrics, I mean, that's not hyperbole. It's a fact. And when he abandons his best pitch, I think a lot of it is due to the fact that he's not confident that he can get out these hitters with that pitch. And so it plays into that, right? So not only are you getting these guys that are just amazing hitters, now you're getting into the head of pitchers who are afraid to make a mistake. And so I hope, so this is something that is going to be interesting to follow, because I think it really does, I wouldn't want to be a pitcher on the mound facing the Dodgers. So I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying here. I guess I'm saying is that I think that we're going to have to, the Giants pitchers are going to have to go after him the way, like, someone like Landon Roop did.
Yeah. I mean, I think what you're saying is that the Dodgers got into Webb and Bailey's heads and forced them to go away from the second best pitch in all of baseball. right?
Exactly.
But Logan Webb's changeup is the second most valuable pitch in all of baseball.
And he only threw it like 15% of the time yesterday.
Well, and you know, at the same time, like, so I have a couple takeaways from that second game, from Logan Webb's game. Because first of all, on the one hand, it just felt like the Giants were just always on the ropes. It felt like the Dodgers were dominating. But at the end of the day, the Dodgers won 5-4 and the Giants had plenty of opportunities to win that baseball game. So I take that as a silver lining. Right. Like, this team is good enough to beat the Dodgers in close competitive games. And Logan Webb did not pitch his best game. And part of that is because he didn't go with his best pitch because he didn't feel like it was at its best. But as you say, when the second best pitch in all of baseball is not at its best, maybe it's still pretty darn good. And you probably should have relied on it a little bit more. The other thing I will say,
and he said that after the game, and he mentioned that he wished he had thrown it more.
The other thing I'll say is that there were definitely a few at bats where it just looked like they just didn't take advantage of situations when they should have. There was one particular at bat against Teoscar Hernandez where he threw this pitch early in the count. I think it was the second pitch of the at bat, and it was an inside pitch. It was out of the strike zone. But Hernandez really didn't like it, and he took this really awkward defensive swing, and it just looked like he was totally uncomfortable. They didn't go to that side of the plate again in that at-bat, and he walked. And it was like, okay, he just told you, I don't like that pitch, it's not something I can handle, and it's not something I can see, and they never went back there. I thought that was really telling. And instead, he kept relying on his slider down and away, and he just wasn't able to get it to be close enough to swing at or to hit the corner of the strike zone. And the main thing that I noticed is that, you know, everybody said, oh, the Dodgers, they were very selective in their hitting. Like, he was wild. His sinker was not, he was not throwing his sinker for strikes. And a lot of the strikes he did throw, Kuzi, the home plate umpire, was giving to him, even though they were balls. So Logan Webb was actually worse than what the stats will tell you, because the umpire was giving him some gifts. He just was not able to get that sinker where he wanted it to be. And then he had to throw a lot of get-it-in-there pitches, and they took advantage of those pitches. He just was not effective. So that's the downside. But here's the upside. They still were competitive in that game and lost by a single run. And if Logan Webb comes out and has his A stuff, or even has his B stuff, but pitches with an A mentality, then he can win that ballgame. They can win that ballgame. Yeah. So I think that's the positive takeaway. That being said, like, I don't think it's the end of the world that the Giants didn't beat the Dodgers in this series, that they either lost 2-1 or they get swept, right? Because, hello, the Dodgers are better than the Giants, and nobody is surprised by that statement. And the good news is that it's not just going to be Logan Webb who needs to beat the Dodgers if we face them in the playoffs. It's also going to be Robbie Ray. It's going to be Blake Snell. It's going to be a whole host of guys who are really, really good pitchers. So even though it's always disappointing to get swept, to get beat by the Dodgers, we never like it. We all knew this was a possibility, and I don't think this is in any way a testament to the quality of this team. So, you know, I mean, that's my takeaway from it, is that Logan Webb not pitching well, the Giants still were close and possibly could have won that game.
No, I think that's a good take. And I think that we should be thankful for the balanced schedule now, because we only play the Dodgers 12 times a year. So
that's right.
We're already 25% of the way done with playing the Dodgers.
That's right.
So we talked about Logan Webb being a little tentative. You know who wasn't tentative, though?
Yes, I did.
Was Landon Roop.
Yeah.
So I'm going to segue into our bullpen discussion, because you and I have been concerned about this bullpen.
It's not just you and I. Everybody. Everybody's concerned.
Yeah, okay.
Everybody's concerned.
Everybody has been concerned about the bullpen. One of those who it looks like is ready to step up and be a big part of this is maybe similar to Ryan Walker and how he kind of stabilized part of the bullpen last year, is Landon Roop. And Landon Roop is interesting because there was an article in The Athletic during spring training where it was Baggerly or Brisby went around asking all the catchers and pitchers like to name one player that has stood out, one pitcher. And almost unanimously, they all named Landon Roop and especially his curveball. And we saw that on Tuesday in relief of Webb. Landon Roop's curveball is amazing. And the fact that he has such confidence in it and can throw it at any time in the count for strikes is amazing. The pitch that he struck out Mookie Betts in and Betts' reaction afterwards was really telling, yeah. Right? I mean, you see a guy like Mookie Betts grimace or like, I don't even know what you would call that look on his face. But after he got buckled from that curveball was really was telling about what a pitch that is.
Is what we call that. It was chagrin. That is right. A highlight of the season, that at bat. And I think it will be for the whole season. Like that is one of the most memorable things I think that will happen this year is that strikeout. That pitch was, I mean, Landon Roop's curveball in general is nasty, right? They talked about how it was the best curveball in all of minor league baseball. He was rated as a 70, right? Which is as high as you rate a pitch. That particular curveball that he threw to Mookie Betts was so nasty. I mean, he had him buckling and turning away because he thought it was going to hit him. Instead, it does this 90, you know, this north to south snap and just hits the, you know, it's perfectly on the end of the strike zone. And I will tell you this, Matthew, I just really want to quickly touch on the Dodgers game. I really like the part where Kyle Harrison beaned Freddie Freeman in the back. That was probably my favorite part of last night's game. How did you feel about that?
Oh, total highlight for sure. Anytime a Dodger gets hit,
I think maybe we found the strategy to beat Betts and Freeman right now at the very least. You know,
if they're going to get on base, you might as well make them hurt.
Seriously, you know, yeah, like put it right between the shoulder blades. Anyway, no, I mean Landon Roop was obviously a stabilizing force for the bullpen. And then the bullpen after him looked very good, right? Ryan Walker came out. Like, he got into a little bit of trouble, and then Ryan Walker came in and cleaned up after him. And then after Walker, it was Taylor who came into the game and pitched.
Specifically to face Ohtani.
Yeah, specifically to face Ohtani. And took care of business in that particular situation. It was really interesting how a lot of guys pitched across innings. It was interesting to me how many pitches Roop threw. Unfortunately, you know, that means he's not available for the third game because he threw so many darn pitches. But I think last night was a really good night for a big part of the core part of the bullpen. And it is very clear that Landon Roop has established himself. You know, I mean, after his second outing. But it's clear after his second outing, having faced the likes of Machado and Tatis and Betts and Freeman and won those battles, this is a kid who should be confident in his stuff, right? And we as fans should be confident in him. So I feel like, you know, there you go. He's a stabilizing force. And Ryan Walker looked really good backing him up. And Taylor looked good backing him up. Right. So that's a stabilizing statement from three big parts of the bullpen. I think the bullpen is still a work in progress, though.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you have Nick Avila and Kaiwei Tang in your bullpen, which was not part of the plan going into the season.
No, you don't think those were the guys?
I don't think those were the guys. And also, Eric Miller as well. Eric Miller being the only lefty besides Taylor Rogers is he's in there because you had injuries. There's a few things that need to happen, but I feel like we're going to see a little bit of change coming up when you've got when Cobb comes back. Maybe that pushes Keaton Wynn into a relief role. So there's definitely some stabilizing that is going to happen there. Kai Wei Tang would probably be, you know, put back into the minors. Nick Avila, I don't know. He just does. I mean, I know it's when you're making your major league debut, it's hard to gauge somebody, but it really looked like he was throwing batting practice to some of those guys when he came in. And so I don't think that he's going to be there for much longer as well, but we'll see.
Well,
and I think, I don't know. I feel like this is definitely a work in progress, and we're going to see a lot of changes before this bullpen stabilizes.
It's reminiscent of 2021, where they had a little bit of a merry-go-round and they had to go figure out who the guys were. Right.
Right. And this is what the Giants do, right? Well, I think it's what a lot of teams do.
Well,
because you're always trying to kind of, you know, find that mix in your bullpen.
Right. And I will remind you, Camilo was one of those guys.
Yeah, right. Good point.
And so, so it's, you know, there's this merry-go-round that you have to go through. But at the same time, you know, you got to put your guys in situations where they can succeed. And I just feel like the last game of the Padres series and the first game of the Dodgers series, they didn't do that. And I still believe that all goes back to not properly priming your roster for a situation where you were carrying Blake Snell, who was not really on the roster, and you were also carrying Joey Bart, right? So you didn't have the resources that you needed in game three of the season. You know, it all goes back to that roster mismanagement. And so, you know, you could have done a little bit of a better job managing your roster up until this point, but it is going to be a merry-go-round in that front section. I do think that at this point, though, nobody has really established themselves as being a right-hander in the front part of that bullpen. And so I agree that it probably needs to be Keaton Wynn once Cobb comes back. I think that's a little bit of an awkward situation for Wynn because he's a starter. But, you know, he's the best arm who knows how to do it. So maybe...
Landon Roop actually never came out of the bullpen in the minors. He has been starting the entire time.
Right.
So, you know, when you get into the majors, you break into the majors, a lot of guys start out in the bullpen. And, you know, and that's where the Giants need him right now. So I don't see a problem with that.
Well,
where I do see a problem, though, Ben, is after Miller, there's no other lefty on the 40-man roster.
Right. Well, they do have that kid Sanchez, who I think it's Sanchez, right, who they were really, really excited about. But he wasn't on the 40-man. And so, I mean...
Right, and he's still not, so...
Well, no, I mean, and that's the point. Like, they're going to have to run the merry-go-round. And so if you really, really like Miller, well, then maybe you got to DFA Dalton Jeffries to get Sanchez on the, you know... Like, you got to do some stuff.
Absolutely.
There's going to be... That's the problem, is that right now, you have to churn that 40-man, and you're going to have to give up a lot of guys that you liked.
Yeah, Dalton Jeffries, David Villar, Brett Wisely should all be nervous right now.
Right. I mean, you know... Ramos is still on the 40-man, right?
Yeah.
So
well, and I mentioned that they were going to let go Ramos before they let go Otto Lopez, and I was wrong. So I just I'll acknowledge that
Otto Lopez
was DFA'd this week. So yeah, there's some churn going on, and I think we're going to see that for the next few weeks. And then again, there'll be more when they need to add on Cobb, and they need to add later Robbie Ray. So it'll be interesting to see how that all gets shaken down. All right, well, we are getting to the end here. A few things I want to cover, though, so let's go to a lightning round. All right, really fast.
Is there a Bob for lightning round?
Bob's still not under contract for midweek review.
Really?
Yeah.
It's time for a lightning round.
Oh my gosh, you do work on Thursdays.
Yeah, you know, he was a late signee. Mm-hmm. You know, he was still in spring training for a little bit, pitching to the minor leaguers, but now he's back.
All right.
So
welcome back, Bob.
Welcome back, Bob. All right. So yeah, lightning round. Here we go, Ben. Jorge Soler is warming up. In fact, his current numbers, as I looked at them, are actually very similar to his career numbers. So, and what that means is that he's like a career 240 hitter.
Yeah.
So if you're expecting more than that, don't. The only thing that kind of bothers me about that is that why is he batting second and third? You know, I just, I know you got the power there, but it just bugs me that he's not hitting for very well. Although he has been, his on base is not bad, but still, I think that he's not the right spot for number two or three in the lineup.
I don't like him in the two or the three spot. I don't know why he keeps putting him there. This is totally like I'm I'm calling out Baumel's cred on having Soler hit in the two or the three spot. The three spot is supposed to be your best all-around hitter, period, bar none. Okay?
That's currently not the case.
Will Clark hits in the three spot, folks. Okay? Not Jorge Soler. Number two, right. Your number two guy.
And as I say that, Mr. Soler may have actually hit a nice hit. So we'll...
Well, okay, then let me keep...
Maybe he'll get better.
Let me keep talking crap about him.
Yeah, keep talking crap.
You know, he never hits home runs. Like, he's not going to hit another home run again.
Well, he didn't hit a home run today. So,
what are you talking about? Don't say that, Matthew. The game's not over.
Oh, that's true.
I'm going to have to edit you out. What are you talking about? God.
He didn't hit a home run today. Okay. The game's not over yet. So Jorge Soler, we're not going to judge him based on the game that we haven't finished watching yet. We're going to judge him on what we've seen to date, and it just hasn't been enough. And I just don't feel like him being in the second or third spot in the lineup right now is the right call. I agree with you. All right. Well, moving on. So today, Ben, in hockey, I know it's not a sport that we watch regularly, but for reasons. But the Devils and the Rangers in Madison Square Garden today started the game with an all-out brawl. I guess, it's a hockey match, game. I don't know what they call them. But anyway, they started
it. About? It's a game.
Okay, all right. With an all-out brawl, and I watched this. They dropped the puck, and then immediately everybody started fighting. And I'm not a big hockey person. I know you have some experience watching hockey. I gather that's kind of a normal thing. What I thought was interesting is apparently, and I didn't verify this, but I saw it on Twitter, so take it with a grain of salt, that even the coaches got into it a little bit. I'm wondering, like, wouldn't it be cool to see like a Dodgers Giants game open up like that? Like I just feel like the pitch number one, the Giants just drill like you know, Betts in the back, and then all of a sudden bench is clear, and we just have this whole out brawl. I think that would be awesome.
Okay. So first of all, in hockey, it does happen, right? There's bad blood, and it does happen fairly regularly that there's a fight at the drop of the puck. The gloves go down, and then the guys start fighting. It is somewhat common. I mean, it does happen where there is a full-on all-ice brawl. When everybody starts fighting, little-known fact, Matthew, the goalies are required to fight.
Yes.
And so
yes, which is
they have to. And
that
this
was awesome.
This is not something that they do regularly, but it does happen. The coach is fighting? No, that doesn't happen. Like, no, that's not a thing. So I'm going to have to look a little bit deeper into this. But no, I'm boycotting the NHL for reasons near and dear to my heart. I also do want to mention casually, Matthew, that my favorite baseball player, my favorite San Francisco Giant is Michael Conforto. I'm really, really glad that he opted into his contract.
Yeah, it's good because he leads our team in every statistical category right now, including tonight. So that was great.
All I can say is go get that bag.
Go get that bag, Michael.
listener, maybe you can follow. You can compare this to the box score and know what was going on.
All right. Final lightning round. We're getting away from the lightning round. Giants and Mets are the only two teams in the National League without a stolen base. Mm-hmm. Is that a concern?
I couldn't care less about the Mets. Screw those guys.
Well, I know. I'm more about the Giants.
I also know that they don't slide. They don't break up double plays, apparently. Everybody's like Barry Bonds, you know, like, I'm too good. I don't want to get hurt.
The Mets or the Giants?
The Mets.
Okay.
The Giants, on the other hand, is that a concern? Yes. It is a concern. This is a big part of baseball this year, and now the fact is, you said you wanted to get faster and more athletic and younger, and the Giants really haven't done any of those things, right? I mean, like, all the young position players, Luciano and Matos are all in Sacramento, and so So I do think it is a concern. This is a huge part where you can take advantage of the new rules in the game, and the Giants aren't doing that. And I think that this is something that you need to have in your game. I also feel like this offense hasn't quite defined itself yet, right? I feel like it's a bunch of just different parts, different pieces that haven't really gelled. And I would,
that's a good point. I like that. I like that. Yeah.
I would really like to have that be a component, right? A part of their game. And like, are we power hitters? Are we like load the bases up and put a lot of traffic out there and make pitchers work? Are we, you know, small ball? Are we slap and run? Like, what are we?
That's a good choice. I like that. That's a good point. We don't have an identity as an offense.
No,
yet, do we?
We don't. And I think the fact of the matter is that having speed being part of your game is a huge advantage that you're not taking.
Well, yeah. And you look at teams like the Diamondbacks in our own division, right, who have definitely taken advantage of that. The Cincinnati Reds are running all over the place. So, yeah, the Giants, could stand a little more speed. And I know that, you know, even Krug and Kipe keep mentioning about how Chung Hoo Lee, they want him to steal more bases. But he never stole more than like 13 bases in a season in Korea.
That's not his
game. It's not like he's not a prolific base dealer, and I don't understand how they feel like he's going to all of a sudden become one. He certainly hasn't done that yet. On top of the fact that we're not stealing bases, we're also having some pretty poor base running in general, which isn't something that we've done in the past. And maybe it's, Alyssa Nakin not being around as much. I don't know. But the base running has been, they've gotten guys picked off. They've gotten guys in rundowns. Things have not been as solid on the bases as we've seen in the past. And that's something I think they need to clean up.
Agreed. Agreed. Soler, Conforto.
All right.
Stop it. Jung Hoo.
All right. Well, I think we are nearing the end here. So we got coming up here, we got our home opener. We got the Padres on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You and I are attending Saturday's game.
That's right.
With the starting pitcher, TBD.
Ooh,
so that's exciting.
That is exciting.
And I'm guessing maybe Keaton Wynn, but I don't know. I guess we'll see. We'll see. So we will be back on Sunday to tell you all about maybe the new cocktails at Oracle and a rundown of the Padres series.
That is right. And then I get to say the outro.
I think so.
Okay.
Go for it.
Well, I had ChatGPT write an outro for me too, Matthew. So let me pull that up really quickly. This is a work in progress, but here we go. That's a wrap on today's episode of Giant Cocktails Midweek Review. We hope you enjoyed our spirited discussions and cocktail concoctions as much as we did. If you had as much fun as a walk-off homer, do us a solid and hit that rate and review
button.
Us on your favorite podcast provider of choice, either Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Craving more? Slide into our social media accounts where you can find us on the Twitter, formerly known as Twitter, Instagram, Threads, and Mastodon for behind-the-scenes shenanigans and the latest Giants gossip. Neither of those are true. Neither of those are true. No shenanigans.
I got no gossip,
no
folks.
Gossip.
Got
no gossip.
No gossip.
Now, anyway, folks, until next time, keep your spirits high and your baseballs flying. Until Monday, Matthew, cheers, my friend.
What was that? Spirits what? And baseballs what?
Until next time, keep your spirits high.
Oh, yeah.
And your baseball's flying.
I got my spirits high.
Yeah,
above my head.
You too. I can see that. I can see that. Can we like wrap it up? Can you say cheers, Ben? Bye, everybody.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I haven't done that yet. Yeah. Okay. All right. Cheers, Ben. Bye, everybody. I thought we were already in
you
the.
We
I, was
were the
you,
part?
I was giving you outtakes.
No, we're still in the intakes,
that.
Buddy. We're still in the intakes.
All right. Well, I'm on my third cocktail of the day, so give me a break.
Hey, everyone. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Giant Cocktails Podcast. Until next time, bottoms up.
Okay, now we're in the outtakes. Oh yeah. Hey, it's not how you play the game, it's whether you win or lose, and today we won. And that's good enough. Epic win, definitely a game for the season. We'll remember this in October. An absolute stunning turnaround by our Giants. Fuck yeah.
Enough. Enough said. Yeah.
It was a fucking disaster, and I don't want to fucking talk about it. So go fuck yourself, past Ben.